gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity and newsmaker hotline.
You're telling me, sister.
Lots of news, lots of folks to talk about with. Representative Lynn Woolsey, Democrat of the great state of California, coming up this hour. Eric Bollard of Media Matters for America, oddly enough. Yeah. We'll ask him if there will be a group apology from the right wing to Jenna Napolitano.
Yeah, he's
on that memo about the, you know, there might be some violence from some right wing domestic terrorists here in the United States.
That's crazy. You crazy liberal.
Where would you? Oh, no.
He's written a really, really good piece at MediaMatters.org about, O'Reilly has something to answer for. Yeah.
Just a skosh. Mm-hmm. Representative Pete Stark, Democrat of the great state of California, next hour, and Representative Chris Van Hollen, one of our personal favorites,
yes.
Democrat of Maryland, in hour number three to talk about all the breaking news this morning. Obviously the biggest of which is this shooting at the Holocaust Museum by the what is he? I don't know. White supremacist, Holocaust denier guy.
At this point, this appears to be a lone gunman. He appears to be acting alone.
That was the D.C. police chief.
Yes. Yeah. Shepard Smith, Jim at Fox News, stepping off the reservation a little bit.
Really?
I don't think you're supposed to bring up the Jenna Napolitano memo that they were all screaming about a few weeks ago, are you?
For the second time in as many weeks, a crime scene reminds me of a memo which you broke on the Fox report. From the government, warning, look out for crazy extremists out there about to go do weirdness, and here we are.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't allowed to say crazy right-wing extremists.
Yeah, he almost said right-wing.
Oops. Yeah, the memo that you guys broke saying this is craziness. Janet, she owes us an apology for saying there might be.
How dare you?
And she did apologize.
Some sort of anti-choice or any sort of racist right-wing
moon-bat nonsense. Mm-hmm. James von Brunn. And he looks like an Austrian Nazi.
You notice there's a theme. It's the anti-choice, it's the racist or anti-gay.
That's right.
They're all listed on those crazy websites as heroes. The guy that bombed the, abortion clinics and the gay bars and Eric Rudolph.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is one of the heroes listed.
We won't be
on
allowed
these
to play in any reindeer games.
No.
Except in prison.
Yes.
Exactly. Hey, speaking of homophobic.
What?
Miss California got fired. Oh, no.
Why did it take so long?
I know. Because she wasn't showing up doing any of her stuff because she, had to open her pie hole on shows like Hannity.
Carrie Prejean, Miss California. Mm-hmm. All right, now they're not going to let her keep her title. You know what? This is all political. She didn't maintain her responsibilities. I talked to her. She's done everything that they wanted.
No, she
hasn't.
They
don't like her views, Sophia. They don't like her views.
How did you know he was going to say that? Right? Yeah, they're discriminating against her. She wasn't showing up doing her stuff because she's on shows like Hannity every other day.
Exactly.
And by the way, that's one of the rules, apparently, of the pageant. You're supposed to get permission to do stuff like that, and she wasn't.
That's
she
right.
She was just going on, one right-wing chat fest after another, apparently. Anyway, and that was the whole thing about the beginning about the pictures. It was not the pictures that she, it was that she lied about them.
Absolutely.
So she should have been,
you're fired.
A long time
it's all
ago.
Political. If she'd gone in some crazy left-wing show, then none of this would have happened.
All right. Nonetheless, she's fired.
It's official. Controversial Miss California Carrie Prejean has heard the words, you're fired.
This is the statement from the Miss California USA organization, and with the blessing of its owner, Mr. Donald J. Trump, announced today the termination of Carrie Prejean as Miss California USA, citing continued breach of contract issues.
The unemployment rate rising to 7.6%.
Miss California, you're fired.
None of this would be happening right now if I just said, they should get married. You're right, Perez Hilton.
Immediately after the pageant, Judge Number 8 began a cultural firestorm.
Look who's talking, beaver face.
The fact is, at some point, there's a winner and there's a loser. And tonight, you're a loser.
I'm
Yeah.
Do you want to be Miss California anymore?
I mean, of course I want to be Miss California. I earned it. I deserved it.
Computer says no.
I'm going to be presenting at the Special Olympics as a...
Everywhere I like, such as, and...
Miss California, you're fired.
You're fired. You're fired.
Pageant officials say first runner-up Tammy Farrell will take over those responsibilities.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland.
Next to your fire.
Yeah, and these unemployment numbers, we're going to weep for her. I earned it. It's my crown. Okay.
Schmoo.
Oh, please. She's going to be all over some free speech victim, isn't she?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Most of us violate the rules of our job. Guess what?
You're fired.
Yeah. Okay. No.
You've let an F-bomb or two out on the air.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's that's neither here nor there.
And a D-bomb occasionally.
Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
You two are chatty this morning, aren't you?
What?
We
have technology to fix that, so you are saved.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Our top story. President Obama eats his vegetables and exercises every day, and he really wants you to do the same.
Mr. Goody Two Shoes.
He's the skinniest president we've ever had, isn't he?
But hasn't he gone out for burgers with Joe Biden at least like three times?
Just a photo op. He
loves burgers
them.
And pizza.
He doesn't really eat them.
Yes, if he's eating all of that, why is he telling us to eat our vegetables?
From the White House garden to his picks for top health jobs, Obama is telling America's McDonald's-loving, couch-dwelling, doctor-phobic populace that things are about to change. Obama and Congress are moving across several fronts to give the government a central role in making America healthier, because this is one of the biggest issues, in my opinion, facing the country. Our kids, this is in our health care system, this is huge.
Kids are tubs of goo.
What's the matter with kids today?
And you speak as a former kid tub of goo.
I shopped in the Husky section at Sears.
I'm a continuing tub of goo. Had a brief period of thinness.
They are raising expectations among public health experts of a new era of activism unlike any before. Any health care reform plan Obama signed, certain to call for nutrition counseling, obesity screenings, and wellness programs at workplaces and in community centers. He wants more time in the school day for physical fitness, more nutrition, not just as tests we had to do. I don't know what the hell those were, the presidential fitness exam.
I hated those
because
I couldn't
too.
Even do a single pull-up.
I can't still.
I can now, but I couldn't back then.
I need to lose about 50 pounds to be able to do a pull-up.
More nutritious school lunches and more bike paths, walking paths, and grocery stores in underserved areas. President filling top posts at Health and Human Services with officials who, in their previous jobs, outlawed trans fats, banned public smoking, or required restaurants to provide calorie counts. Even Congress getting into the act, giving serious consideration to taxing sugary drinks and alcohol to help pay for the... wait a minute now. Alcohol! To some of it smacks of a nanny state on steroids, but for others who fret that America is turning into one big Overeaters Anonymous meeting, Obama's prescription is like a low-fat dream come true. I'm guessing Bill O'Reilly is not one of those.
Here on The Fact, we pride ourselves in defending the traditional American values that everyone who isn't a far-left moonbat loon holds near and dear. This is in stark contrast to the machinations of our socialist, fascist, madrasa-educated, Muslim, America-hating, pinhead president, Hussein Osama. And I say that with all due respect. Sir, your insistence on the secular progressive shibboleth of eat your vegetables is a clear indication that you decided to subvert the moral character of America with touchy-feely hippie twaddle. And your insistence on exercising betrays your contemptuous hatred for our cherished core principles. Americans have a God-given right to sit on the couch eating tater tots and cheese whiz, washing it down with the high fructose corn syrup-laden carbonated beverage of their choice. And they watch other people exercise on their fat screen TVs. I mean, what was the point of corralling the Indians and kicking the Mexicans off our land if not to take a load off? Americans don't want to break a sweat. That's why we imported Africans to do our hard labor. That's why we sent all our jobs to China and India. That's why we invented the lazy boy chair. That's why I hire a room full of Harvard-educated geniuses to write my incoherent rants and put them up on the teleprompter, knowing full well I'm going to read whatever garbage they feed me, making myself look like a pantaloon as they fall out of their chairs laughing. Wait a minute. I can't read this. What does that mean? Forget it. Don't write it. I'll do it live. This thing sucks. And that's tonight's Talking Points memo.
I feel Millennial Jim uses the Bill O'Reilly and Christian Bale impressions to get his unbridled rage out.
I think I think you're right.
Da-di-da-di-da. Are we done professionally?
Yeah, we're through professionally.
Apparently. Okay, and pregnant man is a dad again. Chris had to give me quite the biological explanation this morning.
Of how a man could be pregnant.
But, I thought it was a gimmick, but anyway.
I'm pretty sure I don't want to know.
The pregnant man has given birth for a second time, which is magical.
We wish the happy couple well.
Yes, and Thomas Beattie, who was born a woman and underwent a sex change operation.
And still has the lady parts.
Ah, okay.
That's what Chris explained to me. He is, well, as they say, in transition.
Well, I think he said that he's not going to have the...
He has not had the Adam.
He's a good man.
Right.
There's been no Adam to me.
Right. He, you know, he's taking his testosterone shots and had, you know, the top
So he
done.
Has a beard and lady parts, much like Ann Coulter. Well, he and his lovely wife, Nancy, became parents again Tuesday, and we do wish them well.
Yes, we do.
And so does Nigel Tubthumper.
Good day to you. I'm Sir Nigel Tubthumper, chief spokesmodel and Lord High Muckety-Muck for the Intergalactic League for OMFGUWTF. It seems a man who was a woman gave birth while he was a man and has stayed a man but has given birth again. In the words of Aristotle, holy crap! The throbbing question is, obviously, sir, or madam, Mia, Saturn, what was the double mastectomy, vaginally reconstructed, testosterone-chucking, cross-dressing, penile-implanted point? I mean, really, does one convert to Orthodox Judaism and serve a lobster at his first seder? Does one become a vegan and announce it while powering down a Big Mac? Does one become a Democrat and vote against social legislation? Besides Arlen Specter, I mean, he definitely spoils the curve. It seems like taking Dramamine for your seasickness and putting your finger down your throat so you can vomit anyway. Quite like what the rest of us feel like doing when we contemplate your particular species of lunacy. Here's a bit of advice, Mr. Mrs. Hie thee down to the home improvement store, buy a bag of non-shrink grout, and tamper quantity up there and be done with it. Although taking your lack of consistency into account, let me warn you not to get it into the wrong aperture. On top of everything else, you don't want to be the only creature on God's earth who actually can... Oh, I'm sorry. Bleep. A brick. Cheery bye.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there's a tile ad at the Stephanie Miller website. That'd be stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. Tim and Madison on the Holocaust Museum shootings. Hello, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was watching Fox yesterday afternoon during it because I was in the office. Had really no choice. It was a right-winger's turn to watch TV. And, you know, I was really surprised by Shepard Smith and how he called the right-wing fanatics with called them out with Homeland Security.
I'm guessing a memo has gone out at Fox News now saying do not mention the memo. Don't mention the Janet Napolitano memo.
You know, I'm pretty sure it has, but he mentioned it. He said that, you know, with Janet saying that and how he agreed with it.
Right. Look, Tim, this is getting a little uncomfortable, I would think, for the people at Fox News. First of all, you have this shooting, I forget the guy, but remember that had the Michael Savage and Sean Hannity books?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that shot up the, I'm forgetting the...
the place. Too.
But, you know, now you have Dr. Tiller, you know, who O'Reilly targeted 28 times, and now you got this guy. I mean, and this is exactly what Janet Napolitano said, and that was the 24/7 story on Fox News. She ought to apologize for this, saying there might be right-wing domestic terrorism, blah, 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 right?
And now they're saying that it's out there, and now he's admitting it, and he's saying how, you know, maybe with all these people also saying that Obama isn't really a U.S. citizen and doesn't want to show his birth certificate after he has over and over again. And on live TV, he was receiving Twitters about this. He was receiving tweets saying that Obama really isn't the president. How could Shepard Smith say that he's actually American citizen and he never shown his birth certificate? He's right on live TV.
That's the problem. The right-wing lunatic fringe has become the mainstream, you know?
It has.
You had the vice presidential candidate saying the now president of the United States pals around with terrorists. You know?
It's ridiculous. I'm thinking that, you know, if this continues, what's happening continues, we should just all lock ourselves indoors and start duct taping the windows shut now, because I don't think I'm going to want to go out. I live in a very liberal city of Madison, Wisconsin. You know, I'm proud to live here. I love this city, but it's starting to get even sketchy out here. We had a late-term abortion clinic close. I believe it's still in the process of being closed because one of the doctors retired. And the storm that happened here
was just crazy.
Well, and I think it's a travesty that Dr. Tiller's clinic is not going to reopen. You know, I mean, it is
a travesty.
I mean, it really is it's letting these violent extremists win. And you know, it's funny. I think somebody from Operation Rescue said, good, you know, now Kansas will be abortion free. No, it won't. It's just women are going to die, too.
This country was founded on freedoms. And I am pro-choice. And I think that is one of the freedoms of being a woman, that you have the choice if it's going to hurt you, if it's going to kill you, or if the fetus is already dead, then yes, you have the right to get that done. If you have the right to, you know, just to throw one out there, if you have the right to get a nose job done, you know, six times, like Michael Jackson,
yeah, exactly.
You have the right to have an abortion whenever you want.
All right, Tim. Thank you. 21 minutes.
I'm having a late turn nose job.
20 minutes after the hour.
Back away from the scalpel, Michael.
All right, we have got all the latest on who the white supremacist is, who shot and killed a security guard at the Holocaust Museum yesterday. Back with all of that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, sorry about that. The show's gotten a little lowbrow.
What are you talking about? It's like the most hilarious show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 26 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bill Parsons, the Holocaust Museum Chief of Staff yesterday.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do to protect people at the museum. Our hearts really go out to the family right now and to the guard who was shot.
And the guard obviously died yesterday. The gunman, Patrick. Did you hear this? White supremacist gunman was shot in the face, and he's still alive. He's in critical condition. James Von Brunn is his name, 88 years old, an elderly white supremacist being investigated as the prime suspect. He has a delightful website, holywesternempire.org.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called Kill the Best Gentile. Mm. He officials say he walked into the museum Wednesday with a rifle, began shooting, prompting security guards to return fire. The gunman and the security guard were shot. In 1983, by the way, Von Brunn was convicted of attempting to kidnap members of the Federal Reserve Board.
Yeah.
At the time, police said Von Brunn wanted to take the members hostage because of high interest rates and the nation's economic difficulties. You know, we make fun of crazy religious right-wing Scott when he calls in, but this is the whole thing. The Jews are causing the financial crisis and the gays and the...
Whatever!
It's hard to keep track of people's... bigotries. He also was, much like Hitler, a frustrated artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know our friend John Fugelsheim says if he could go back in time, he wouldn't kill Hitler, he would buy his paintings.
Yes.
Which would
save a lot of people.
Look, I'm a successful artist. I don't need to kill anyone now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He is a Holocaust denier. He describes the assault that he tried at the Federal Reserve with apparent pride on his website. He decries the Browning of America and claims to expose a Jewish conspiracy to destroy the white gene pool.
I see.
That's who this guy is.
Good fluoridation.
All right. Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey coming up next on the Celebrity Hotline.
Stephanie Miller.
You can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lots of news on lots of fronts this morning. If only someone in the middle of the what? Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of California, it's Representative Lynn Woolsey.
One of our personal favorites. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. I got to get your take, Congresswoman, on the breaking news, this shooting at the Holocaust Museum. You know, I'm sure you'll recall the right wing was screaming about this memo that leaked that Janet Napolitano even apologized for, saying there might be some violence from some right wing domestic terrorists in this country. And now we've had, of course, Dr. Tiller's murder and this shooting yesterday. Do they owe her an apology?
Oh, well, we owe ourselves an apology because we need to get guns off the streets, period. Mm-hmm. The very idea that a gun could be carried into the Holocaust Museum to the point of being able to kill a guard. It's just crazy the way we let guns be all over our streets.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that we've even seen this during the campaign, haven't we, Congresswoman, this increasingly, I think, dangerous rhetoric. We had the vice presidential candidate saying our president pals around with terrorists, and then you wonder why these, you know, lunatic fringe people on the right are starting to get so crazy.
Well, yes, of course, we have to think about what we're saying and who we're inciting, but if those same people didn't have guns, they'd have their use your words. Isn't that what we tell children?
Use
your words. Don't use your fists.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, lots of stuff obviously going on in Congress. Let's talk about health care, because that's obviously going to be a really big battle, isn't it?
It's yes, because it is so very important that we do it right.
Well, what do you, in your mind, are the sticking points now? I know that, you know, there has been some compromise legislation that we're starting to hear about.
Well, the Progressive Caucus, I mean, the compromise language, if it's in the Senate or in the House, what we need, we're working in the House. And the Progressive Caucus has drawn a line that, and we mean it. And there's 80 of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we just are not going to vote for healthcare reform that really does not provide a robust public option. And that
right.
means allowing every single person who's going to be looking at what healthcare coverage they want, whether or not they have coverage now, which differs from what the leadership plan is.
Right.
They want eventually, 5 years from now, everybody will have this option, but as they describe it now, if you're employed and your employer has health care that you're being covered by,
mm-hmm.
You don't get this option
mm-hmm.
for the public plan. And we want to make that happen a lot sooner than they're talking.
Right. Well, you know, Congresswoman, you in the Progressive Caucus must, I'm sure, be continually frustrated, like many of us are on the left. That, you know, when a lot of times you look at the polling, the American public's a lot more liberal than, you know, by and large, the Democrats in Congress. I mean, by and large, they want single payer, for instance, and that's already off the table, right?
They do want single payer, and it's still being discussed. We had a hearing on single payer yesterday on the Labor Committee, the Education and Labor Committee. But if we have the right public option, it will be very clear within just a few years that a universal single payer system is the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be able to just roll right into that.
Well, it kind of,
but if we have the wrong public option that just gets all narrow and you have to have a trigger to get set it up and all this, then we'll just be wasting our time.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, I certainly understand bipartisanship in some instances, but I think healthcare is a perfect example of where the American people are really solidly on the side of the Democrats, who, let's face it, won the election, won the White House. You know, in some ways, why don't we get a plan that works instead of one that's all watered down by trying to be bipartisan?
Well, so far, I mean, it's not all watered down. What isn't in it is single payer. And we're hoping that we'll get to have a vote on single payer, by
mm-hmm.
the way,
mm-hmm.
so that, I mean, I think my constituents need to know that that's what I want,
right,
and
right,
have wanted
right.
since I got elected in 1992. But
right.
I also want them to be able to trust that anything I vote for will get us to single payer
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
in a short order.
You know, and your constituents know that, you know, as a part of the Out of Iraq Caucus, you've been right about Iraq all along. I mean, you've been
I'm right about Afghanistan, too, I'll tell you.
Yep.
Well, tell us about the, because I know there's a big fight going on, which I don't understand all the parts of it, in Congress right now with the supplemental spending bills for Iraq and Afghanistan. Can you tell us what's happening?
Well, we may be voting today on it, actually. It's a supplemental that takes in the Iraq-Afghanistan spending to continue our military presence in both of the areas and to build it up, actually, in Afghanistan. And it passed the House, and this is conference coming out of back from the Senate. And but it didn't. There were 51 Democrats that voted against it because, and we're not going to vote. We don't. I'm not going to vote for it in the supplemental.
Mm-hmm.
But they have added to the supplemental the International Monetary Fund funding. And that's a teaser to bring some people that voted against the military piece of this to vote for the whole package because of the IMF. But then they added this Guantanamo piece about no pictures ever and
don't release the picture, the torture pictures.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, and it's just and so then that has lost them then now some votes and. So I don't know. I don't know if they have the votes for it, but I would separate. What I would do is separate the military Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq spending. I would separate that from the IMF.
That must get frustrating in Congress, I have to say. You know, you think you're voting for one thing that's good for the American people, and then it's like, wait a minute, guns and national parks. How did that get in? What does that have to do with this?
I think that's it.
Yeah. I mean, those Republicans are sneaky, aren't they?
Look, we're in charge.
Yep.
That's true.
We won the election. We have a big majority in the House of Representatives, so I'm not blaming it all on the Republicans.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what, believe me, I get annoyed. I mean, I have to say, I you know, Harry Reid, just not helpful on the whole, you know, closing Guantanamo Bay. I know it's ridiculous. We have all kinds of dangerous terrorists in prisons now, you know. We have the guy that just shot up the Holocaust Museum yesterday in prison. I mean, to think that we're going to get other countries to take these prisoners when this is a problem we created
and
we're not going to take any of them is ridiculous.
Right, and these criminals are not escaping our prisons.
Exactly. Representative Lynn
Woolsey. If there's one thing we're good at, it's prisons, unfortunately.
Yeah. Representative Lynn Woolsey, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always, and for fighting the good fight in Congress.
All right.
Goodbye. All right. There she goes. Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey of the great state of California. Oh, can I just tell you, I know we have a lot of important problems facing us.
What?
They're finally doing something in Congress that I can totally get behind. They're finally doing something for me. Relief from loud TV ads may be near.
What? I couldn't hear you. The TV was on so loud.
My downstairs neighbor will be so happy.
Is it me? It's gotten worse,
hasn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it's worse. Absolutely.
My TV repair guy, the stereo guy, now they sell things that you can have. It actually you have to turn, but it costs money to actually turn down the TV ads.
Some TVs have that built in.
And we'll be right back in the Situation Room right after the word from our sponsor.
I'm Billy Mays! I don't know what it is, but he's got to get it right now!
That's the way it is.
Congress might soon mute the screaming TV ad announcers if broadcasters don't beat the lawmakers to the volume button. Under a proposal to be taken up today, the FCC would squelch ad volumes to the average decibels of the TV show in which they appear.
What? You're curtailing their freedom of speech. How dare you, sir?
We give the award to Representative Anna S. Eshoo, Democrat of the great state of California.
Huh.
Who is behind this? She said every time the ads came on, they blew me out of my seat.
Yes.
She introduced the bill last June, and she said it really turns you off, makes you think I'll be damned if I give them any of my money.
That's right.
Just me thought nothing could be louder than Chris Matthews. It's bad enough the assault on my ears during the day.
Yeah. Billy Mays and the ShamWow guy.
You know the Germans make good stuff.
42 minutes.
Like really loud TVs.
And now, here are some really loud ads from the Stephanie Miller newscast.
They are of normal volume. Don't forget
volume?
To type...
Normal volume?
Volume. Volume! Type Stephanie in the box. 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Holocaust Museum shooting as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Eric Bollert, Media Matters. He has a great piece on Media Matters on Bill O'Reilly and the rising tide of fanatical supremacist hate groups and crimes.
Yeah.
Well, you're the psychic producer. We had him booked, and obviously before the Holocaust shooting
That's
even
right.
happened.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to Dave in Chicago on the Holocaust Museum shootings. Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Steph.
Good morning.
I'm calling both about what you were just talking about. Yesterday's shooting at the Holocaust Museum and the killing of Dr. Tiller are related to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's exactly what was in the Homeland Security memo.
It seems to me that every, and I've got two issues, by the way, so this one. Every loony with a right-wing loony with a grudge and a gun seems to have been part of a first cell. I realize that sounds overly conspiratorial. That's been activated by the tone set by right-wing radio, whether it's Limbaugh, Hannity, or our good friend Gordon Liddy.
Well, I mean, you know, look, you can't start to say that these are unrelated. You know, who's the guy? We keep trying to think of where it was, but the guy that said he was going to kill everyone on Bernard Goldberg's book, which is the book on liberals who are destroying America, who's on, you know, O'Reilly every other day.
Right, and those are all tightly related. And that's issue one. And then issue two that I have on the Tiller killing is I'm pro-choice, but I'm also pro-life. I don't think anybody in this world is pro-death.
Right.
And to put the argument instead of being pro-choice and pro-life as being pro-choice and anti-choice. And let's semantically put it where it belongs.
Right, exactly. And by the way, you know, we joke about it, but I can talk from personal experience. I mean, when I've gone on Fox News, I mean, we have a death threat that I had to turn into the FBI.
Yep.
Because I mean, that's what I'm saying, is if you don't think that the rhetoric on Fox News makes people think that's okay. What did that guy, he wanted to shove an AK-47 up mine and Cindy Sheehan's glory hole or
whatever.
Yeah.
And the two things I took from that were what, Chris? A, do women have glory holes? And also,
apparently.
What kind of American wants to shove a Russian-made rifle up my glory hole?
Well,
you think he'd want to shove an American rifle.
Assault weapons aren't good enough for you, but, commie.
But the Stephanie Miller Show is the only place that would make a jingle for that guy.
That's true.
That's suck. It's nice to have a friend to help you get to heaven. A special friend who's got an AK-47. He's a retired insurance man. With way too much time on his hands. And speaking of time, just look at the clock.
Tick tock, tick tock.
It's time for song.
Yes, because we called him on the air, which in law enforcement circles is known as unwise.
Yeah.
But it's also what got me into a special comment.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes!
it got Keith Olbermann to mention your name.
Yes!
Stephanie Miller.
Michael, some girls will do anything for attention.
Yeah.
Michael in Los Angeles on the Holocaust Museum. Hello, Michael.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Good.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about, speaking of shoving things up our glory holes. Yeah, the gun bill.
Ah,
well,
yes.
It's a good thing they decided to shove that gun bill to allow guns into national parks, because the museum, national park.
That's what Congressman Woolsey just mentioned. Like, how do you get a gun into a museum like that? So he was as we mentioned, this, what's his name, Von Braun?
Mm-hmm.
The 88-year-old white supremacist? It's Von Braun.
Von Braun. B-R-U-N.
Oh, pardon me.
B-R-U-N.
Well, that's entirely different.
Yes.
Okay, he was
Werner von Braun.
He was a frustrated artist. With the people, I guess, that rejected his artwork, said he arrived at the gallery livid one time because he'd just seen a mixed-race couple getting married at the garden of the Historical Society nearby. They said his work depicted images such as horses and buffalo in the American West or an eagle with the U.S. flag. Or, in other words, Glenn Beck's sweaters. That's what he apparently painted with whatever's been on Glenn Beck's sweaters.
Hmm.
His accounts of what shaped his character as a boy and a young man are heavy with dark episodes blamed on Jews and other minorities. Oddly enough.
Nice.
Okay.
And it's those people who deny that the Holocaust happened.
Yeah.
The people who would like to start another one.
Mm-hmm. Sam in Providence on the white supremacist. Hello, Sam.
Well, the
official, I don't want to be the official anything of the Stephanie Miller Show. I got to tell you a very disturbing trend that I've noticed in at least one right-wing blog, which is to blame any authoritarianism or hatred or anti-Semitism on the left wing.
Ah,
how do they figure?
Well, in this case, when we're talking about the Holocaust Museum shooting, he's reposting from Rush Limbaugh with a quote from Reverend Wright, you know, all the code words, about the Jews aren't going to let Obama talk to me. And so obviously there's where it comes from. I have talked to this guy, or I've emailed with this guy, and he literally thinks that all authoritarianism, hatred, and everything else is a left-wing phenomenon.
Wow.
They're using it like that. The guy's out of South Dakota.
Interesting, yeah.
He's a nice enough guy in email, but...
But he has to ice his groin down after that stretch. All right. Yes, well, you know, because like Ann Coulter has said, liberals have problems with, as you know, minorities. What?
Yeah, liberals certainly do have their issues with black women.
Huh?
Okay, Peter in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Holocaust Museum shooting as well. Hi, Pete.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
I'm not supposed to say that, but yeah, don't waste the money in Guantanamo. Just send all the white supremacists down there for trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I don't know why they're not concerned about keeping those terrorists in our prisons. Have any Republicans spoken out against putting those terrorists in our prisons here? Guy that just shot Dr. Tiller and this guy?
No, because these guys are right-wing lunatics.
Well, they're heroes to the right wing.
That's right.
So I don't think they should be in any kind of prison.
The White House says President Obama was saddened by the shooting at the Holocaust Museum and concerned about the guard who was injured. That was obviously before the guard passed away. He, you know, interestingly, as you recall, Obama in Cairo last week spoke about Holocaust deniers.
Around the world, the Jewish people were persecuted for centuries. And anti-Semitism in Europe culminated in an unprecedented Holocaust. Tomorrow I will visit Buchenwald, which was part of a network of camps where Jews were enslaved, tortured, shot, and gassed to death by the Third Reich. 6 million Jews were killed, more than the entire Jewish population of Israel today. Denying that fact is baseless, it is ignorant, and it is hateful. Threatening Israel with destruction or repeating vile stereotypes about Jews is deeply wrong and only serves to evoke in the minds of Israelis this most painful of memories, while preventing the peace that the people of this region deserve.
By the way, is that what John Voight meant when he spoke at that right-wing tool convention, that the president bullies Israel?
Yeah, that sure sounded like bullying to me.
Or at Buchenwald last week.
We are here today because we know this work is not yet finished. To this day, there are those who insist that the Holocaust never happened, a denial of fact and truth that is baseless and ignorant and hateful. This place is the ultimate rebuke to such thoughts, a reminder of our duty to confront those who would tell lies about our history.
All right. And as we mentioned, Shepard Smith, I'm going to guess that there will be no further mention of Janet Napolitano's Homeland Security memo that warned a few weeks ago that we're going to need to be on the lookout for domestic terrorists, right-wing domestic terrorists in this country.
For the second time in as many weeks, a crime scene reminds me of a memo which you broke on the Fox report from the government warning, look out for crazy extremists out there about to go do weirdness, and here we are.
Yeah, by the way, Scott Roeder, the guy who just murdered Dr. Tiller, he told CNN that the closing of Tiller's clinic is a victory for all the unborn children.
There is now going to be a fight over what happens to the clinic. Anti-abortion people are trying to close it down, while pro-choice people are trying to reopen it. So there's a fight brewing.
Roeder told CNN he's, quote-unquote, feeling good and getting encouraging letters from people around the country, many of whom he does not know. He complained about conditions in jail, though apparently he's being treated like some sort of criminal.
God.
Of some sort. 57 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollert from Media Matters on all of this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy. Voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Pete Stark coming up on the... Wait a minute. This is... Okay. That's later this hour. Uh-huh. Representative Chris Van Hollen of the great state of Maryland coming up in next hour.
Are you okay? Did you have a brain-related event?
Yeah, you wrote the same times for both of these interviews.
That's my fault.
That's you. Okay.
I'm fired, just like Miss California.
Lots of big breaking news, including the shooting at the Holocaust Museum yesterday. Can I have some fine American music? You know, there are some people that are not only smart, but they are psychic, apparently. Somebody wrote recently, if Fox News is going to continue to traffic in hateful rhetoric, then folks at Fox News, as well as their apologists in the GOP noise machine, are going to have to come up with better talking points to spin away the atmosphere of vigilantism fomented by their words and actions. They need a better line of defense because the one they trotted out in the wake of the right-wing assassination of abortion provider Dr. George Tiller was wholly unconvincing. It was just as feeble as the defense Fox News' Glenn Beck tried to employ in May to distance himself from the accused right-wing cop killer in Pittsburgh, who seemed to mimic Beck's language about how President Obama was coming to take away everyone's guns.
Mm-hmm.
The Fox News crew is going to need better talking points because I fear the violence, the bouts of right-wing domestic terrorism are likely to continue. Someone wrote that, Jim, before yesterday's shooting. If only somebody as smart as that could...
Hey!
Why, who is it, Jim?
It's that senior fellow, he doesn't sound that old, from the Media Matters for America, Eric Bollert.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And, you know, we must be psychic because we had you booked before this even happened yesterday as well. And I got to tell you, it is going to get spinnier and spinnier on the right, isn't it? Because this is exactly what you wrote about.
Yeah, and I wrote about it in April, and I've written about it pretty regularly. And every time I write about it, more of it happens. But if you look back on history, I mean, this is what happened, particularly if you look back at the militia movement in the 90s. This is the same sort of far-right extremist movement, except what's happening now is the conservative movement in America, which didn't really embrace that stuff in the 90s. I mean, the militia folks had to rely on, you know, fax machines and you know, ham radio and sort of fringe media. Now they just turn on Fox and they just turn on Rush Limbaugh, and they're completely wallowing in this stuff. So, you know, if you look at the violence that happened in the 90s, you know, it's going to happen again, and we're probably going to see more of it because this rhetoric is just jacked up, and it's everywhere. You don't have to seek it out. You just turn on any AM radio in any market in the country, or turn on Fox News. So that's why it's not surprising.
Eric, you've, you know, like I say, been, you know, documenting this so well at Media Matters, but because we kept trying to think of the guy's name, but it was Jim David Adkinson, remember, who he was last year shot up this Tennessee church. I don't know what the deal is with killing people in church recently, but he killed a man and a woman. It was during a children's musical, went in and started shooting in a church. He explained he was there to kill liberals.
He thought he was going to be killed by the police, so he left a suicide note. In fact, some of the parishioners were able to tackle him, and he wanted to kill as many liberals as possible. He wanted to kill as many people in Bernard Goldberg's book, you know, 100 worst people in America.
100 people who are screwing up America. He said, he actually said, and I quote, who I wanted to kill was every Democrat in the Senate and House and the 100 people in Bernard Goldberg's book.
Right, and he had the Sean Hannity books and the Bill O'Reilly books, and you know,
and the Savage book,
and you know, I wouldn't want anyone to go into some loony's house and find my book or something like that, and that in and of itself isn't much. But if you read the suicide note, I mean, it was just like he was writing, you know, a Fox News script. I mean, everything, every talking point was in there. And what really drove him over the edge was Obama's campaign, and that Obama was going to lead America to socialism.
Yep.
Which, of course, is what Glenn Beck talks about every night of the week now.
Yep, and Sean Hannity, absolutely.
All of them.
Well, you know, that's what you write here. You say as long as Fox News and the noise machine refuse to back off the incendiary language, they're actively mainstreaming. The political violence visible just months into Obama's first term may have only just begun. I mean, I've said that since the campaign, when you have the vice presidential candidate calling essentially the president a terrorist. You know, now you've got this guy who's, you know, saying this, parroting the same thing on right-wing websites that Obama's not really a citizen and he's a Muslim and all this stuff that, you know.
Yeah, that was interesting that the week that Rush Limbaugh really sort of came out and gave credence to this idea that, you know, Barack Obama doesn't have a birth certificate and maybe he's not, you know, American citizen. You know, we have the shooting of the Holocaust Museum, and that guy is also what we call a birther, you know, this conspiracy theorist about Obama, and, you know, he probably isn't not legally elected and things like that. You know, when Palin did it, it was sort of, you know, code words, and some people thought she did and some people thought she didn't. I mean, she was talking about heirs, and that's like guilt by association. But looking back, I mean, the Palin stuff was absolutely benign compared to, I mean, it's so direct and it's so obvious and it's so over the top now that there's no denying what they're talking about. They're talking about Obama is a Hitler-like figure at times, and he's going to take your guns, and he's a Marxist. This stuff is just, this is, like I said, I mean, this is what the far-right wackos were saying about Clinton in the 90s, but no one in the mainstream press ever touched this stuff.
Yeah.
And now Fox will do it at the drop of a hat.
And you quote, you know, you make a good point, you quote somebody in your piece saying, you know, O'Reilly knew that people wanted to tell her dead. He knew full well many of those people were avid viewers of the show. Still, he fanned the flames.
Yeah, absolutely, with George Tiller, and then again, his defense was, oh, you know, I didn't call him a baby killer. I just said other people were calling him that, as Media Matters pointed out. That's false, that he was talking about it all the time. And it's interesting, you know, if you look at the coverage of the Holocaust museum killing yesterday, Fox News not very interested after it was revealed that the guy, that he was a white supremacist, and suddenly they lost a lot of interest in that story, and the story sort of disappeared during primetime last night. They're very nervous about this, and yet no one will dial back the rhetoric, so they can't have it both ways, sort of.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, as you know, Bill O'Reilly just has to issue a correction yesterday because he said CNN didn't cover the Army, you know, recruitment center shooting, which of course they did cover it all day and in prime time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, every hour on the hour.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Reilly's not the most media critic.
And the other thing that you point out is that they consistently say, oh, liberal commentators do exactly what O'Reilly and Beck have been accused of.
No.
And that's I mean, again, so where are all the shootings of right-wing figures? By, you know what I mean? And then they consistently misquote, for instance, Keith Olbermann, who absolutely was a big George Bush critic, but I think you put in here that they kept claiming that he called him a murderer, and Keith Olbermann never called him.
Right, and in the wake of the killing of the Army recruiter last week, the defense was, oh, you know, all these liberals have been anti-military and anti-recruiter and calling, you know, Cheney and Bush, you know, baby killers and things like that.
Mm.
And I just said, okay, show us where is this mythical left campaign against media army recruiters?
Right.
You know, it never existed. It doesn't exist. No one with a national platform has demonized army recruiters on a regular basis.
Right.
So it's just sort of this fantasy about what liberal commentators have been saying in order to create sort of moral equivalence, but they haven't said it because, and this is important, the liberal movement is not based on sort of a militia or vigilante hate rhetoric.
Right.
And the conservative movement in America now is.
Speaking of recruiting, as you recall, what did happen is the city of San Francisco said we don't want recruiters in our schools.
Yeah, right. No, there's absolutely...
And voted against it.
There's absolutely been movements to get them out of schools, to get them out. But this idea that Keith Olbermann goes on TV and every night and calling for the blood of Army recruiters, it's just a right-wing fantasy.
I was just going to say, Eric, you may remember this. So what did happen is this is what Bill O'Reilly said about the entire city of San Francisco because of that.
If Al-Qaeda comes in here and blows you up, we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to say, look, every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco. You want to blow up the Koi Tower? Go ahead.
Again, it's the violence is endemic of the conservative movement, and it's interesting. After the Tiller killing, I couldn't find a single commentator on the right who, after he was, you know, hunted down and killed, said, you know what, we need to pull back on this stuff. O'Reilly wasn't responsible, but you know what, his rhetoric went over the line. We need to rethink this. Nobody is saying that because this violence is an absolute cornerstone of their political movement, and that's why we're going to see more violence. It's very simple.
Yeah, well, you know, but
it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
Eric, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, boy, you and I, we both, you know, have taken our shots at Fox News, and, you know, you can laugh at them sometimes, but, you know, you're right. This is serious, though. I mean, what can we do about this? Because now this is getting to be, I mean, I don't know if you, like you saw, Shepard Smith, I don't know whether he's going to get fired today, but he stepped off the reservation and mentioned, you remember, 24/7, they ran this, Fox News ran the Jenna Napolitano memo that says we might have to be careful of some right-wing, you know, domestic terrorists.
White supremacists.
Demanded she apologize. She apologized. Well, you know, Shepard Smith mentions the memo yesterday that, yes, well, this memo, this is now the second time in 2 weeks.
That's right, and that's pretty much, if you go back and clock the coverage, that's pretty much when Fox News lost interest in the story.
Yep.
Pretty much when Shep made that obvious and salient point, and if you look at the hours afterwards, that story just sort of went down.
It really did.
Into the memory hole.
Yeah.
So, I know Shep continues to occasionally speak the truth, and still has a job, but you're right. I mean, the DHS report, you know, Michelle Malkin called it a piece of crap report because, this was this whole conspiracy that the Obama administration was trying to target conservatives with that report, even though the word conservative was not in the report.
Mm-hmm.
It was a report about white supremacists and skinheads, and yet, oddly, conservatives saw themselves in that report, which is a whole nother question that they should be asking themselves, why they saw themselves in that report.
Yep. Well, I guess we can always hope that at long last they will have some decency, but I wouldn't hold my breath, huh?
I would not either. And as I said, no one is stepping forward and trying to examine this violence that's the basis of the movement. And until people get up the nerve or the courage to do that, it's just going to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. The website is mediamatters.org. Eric, thanks for doing such great work, and thanks for coming on with us.
Talk to you soon.
All right, there we go. Eric Senior Fellow.
And even Shepard Smith couldn't bring himself to say right wing.
Yeah.
He had to say, you know, cuckoo nuts, bananas people.
I think at one point he did say right wing extremists. Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't able to capture that
one. But every time someone comes out saying that Obama's going to take our guns away, someone comes out and proves why some people should not be allowed to have guns. They shouldn't be allowed to have a spork.
Even if they have bought an entire value meal at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they should not get the corresponding spork that goes with it.
Entire value meal?
Why is it that only Kentucky Fried Chicken has the spork?
The spork. I don't
know. That's true.
It's only like, KFC.
Maybe
it's
they
because
it.
They are genius. It's like the secret recipe. It's magic. Right. The spork. Why has no one else thought of it?
They need to make stainless steel sporks so people can have them at home.
Mm. All right.
Seriously.
Mm. Save room in your drawers. In the kitchen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the more on the big breaking news story about the shooting at the Holocaust Museum yesterday and the death of the security guard as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, I like it like that.
Oh, yeah, like that, right there. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, to the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
Ursus Noir just tweeted me a spork update.
Mm-hmm.
That means black bear.
Yes. You can get stainless steel sporks with a serrated knife edge in camping / outdoor stores.
Oh.
Yes.
Fabulous. Thank you for that spork fun fact. Okay. Jim Ward made
Obama's trying to take our sporks away.
Jim Ward made the very salient point before the break that not only should some people not be allowed to have guns, some people should not even be allowed to have sporks.
That's right.
That's how he worked a spork into the conversation.
And a spork is just a funny word.
Exactly.
You've got to drop funny words in the middle of a serious conversation.
Exactly.
That's right.
Scoing. Exactly, like Gary Scoing.
Scoing.
Okay.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Cognitive dissonance is funny.
Trying to lighten the tension this morning in the wake of the tragic shootings yesterday. Tom in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, thanks a
lot. I'm surprised Dick Cheney hasn't come out to say that he told you so, because, you know, he was right. America is less safe since Obama took office. You know,
yeah.
It's already happening. We've had three terrorist attacks on U.S. soil, but he just failed to mention that they were going to be carried out by right-wing extremists.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
People who are fans of Dick Cheney.
All right. Eric Bollert from Media Matters was just on. If you missed that interview, be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. But he's just, I can't believe he wrote this whole article, Chris, before the shooting yesterday, just saying exactly this is going to happen, that you don't have to be a genius, I guess, to look at, you know, the guy that shot up people with, you know, that had all the Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage books and said he wanted to kill liberals, and then, you know, the Dr. Tiller murder, and then this yesterday, you know, again, you know, white supremacist, right-wing extremist. And what he said, that, you know, the false charge they always put out to try to defend themselves is, oh, liberals do it too. Their rhetoric is just as hateful and incendiary and yada, yada, yada.
No.
It's like,
says no.
Glenn Beck, he reprints a transcript where he said, is anybody asking, is Keith Olbermann responsible for the death of those two soldiers? At the recruitment center, he said, Keith Olbermann has railed against recruiters. Keith Olbermann has railed against the baby killers that our U.S. soldiers are.
What?
Says
no,
that.
He never said any of that.
Exactly. And then he goes on to say, he's railed against this war. Yes.
Yes, he has, because it's illegal.
Yes. But it's like they throw in a bunch of stuff so you think it's all true. Keith Olbermann has not railed against recruiters at all. Or tried to make them targets like Bill O'Reilly made
baby
Dr.
Killers.
Tiller. Yeah, exactly. He's never called our soldiers baby killers.
Right.
They throw a bunch of stuff in there that, you know, because he is against the war, people go, well, that must be true.
Shouldn't Fox be required to have a banner up anytime anyone opens their mouth saying, all of this is a lie? Warning, this is BS. Don't buy a word of it.
We will allow them to stay on the air as long as the Chiron identifies them as lies.
Warning. This is complete crap.
Fox Lie Network?
Hey, here's one now from Bill O'Reilly.
I think the basic thing is why the American media ignores the long story, downplays it. And I think it's just obviously they don't want to confront what you just confronted.
Mm.
Worldwide terrorism. The left-wing media doesn't want to hear about it. And if they do, they blame it on the United States.
What? And by ignore it, you mean run it all day on CNN.
Right.
It was O'Reilly said they didn't cover it. They covered it
again,
all day.
Warning, this is a big fat lie.
And he said, I meant primetime. Well, Wolf Pulitzer covered it. Lou Dobbs covered it.
That's primetime. Yeah. Anderson Cooper covered
Anderson
it.
Anderson Cooper. Yeah.
But
exactly.
It wasn't primetime in Hawaii. Ha! Gotcha!
Yeah. Anyway, and then as Eric Bollert just mentioned, of course, the Fox News, boy, that story dropped right out of the news. It wasn't any big deal, I guess, the shooting at the Holocaust. As soon as they found out it was a right wing.
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly.
White supremacist. Yeah. They suddenly that was.
Clammed up.
Yeah.
David Murdoch gave him a call. Pull the story.
Okay.
Run B-roll.
Let's go to Richard in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. I still love you forever.
Thank you.
But I'm concerned with the labeling of this terrorist, domestic terrorist, right-wing terrorist. But if they were a Muslim terrorist, we'd hear that they were a Muslim. I guess it's, you know, when it's a small group, it's okay to mention their religion, they're different, so we can kind of highlight or magnify their religion.
Well, you know, I think you can call somebody a Christian terrorist who says they're going to kill a doctor in a church.
For Jesus.
Yes. And they're part of an organization called the Army of God. 28 minutes.
That's exactly like. It's a mirror image of Muslim terrorists.
That would be a religious extremist.
Yep.
28 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Pete Stark of the great state of California on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Once again, something wonderful in my life has been turned into a giant crap fest.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. News just keeps breaking left and right. If only there were somebody, a mover, a shaker, a newsmaker that could... What? Jim, who is it?
From the great state of California, it's Representative Pete Stark.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Steph.
It's so nice to talk to you again.
Thank you.
So I have to get your reaction to the breaking news story of the morning. Of course, this tragic shooting at the Holocaust Museum. You know, it seems like, again, Jenna Napolitano has been proven out in this memo that they made such ado about on the right. That we have, you know, a threat of domestic terrorism as well from some right-wing groups here.
Oh, we've always had. I mean, Oklahoma City, guys putting spikes in redwood trees. Terrorism is not has nothing to do with religion or geography. It has to do, I guess, with some kind of a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But it's useful if you're trying to shake members of Congress down to spend a lot of money on useless things. But other than that...
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I don't hear anybody on the right screaming that we can't possibly hold these domestic terrorists in our prisons, between Dr. Tiller's murderer and this guy yesterday.
Oh, yeah, well, and this guy yesterday is 88 years old, and he's got a long record, I gather, as a wacko in trying to attack various groups. And, it's probably just a question, wasn't on his meds, and should have been.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's tragic. There's no question. But and I don't know, maybe I'm just missing something, but I'm just aware, it seems to me, of a rising level of violence in our country. Just generally.
Right. Right.
Don't you sense? I mean, more assaults on the street and carjacking and.
But I think it shows
and gangs.
It shows what a good idea it was to put the for Senator Coburn to put in that amendment about being able to take guns into national parks.
Oh, well, come to Virginia, where you don't have any controls. You could carry concealed weapons into restaurants and bars. I mean, that's come on.
Yeah, well, you know, firearms and alcohol has historically been such a good combination.
That's why, you know, me and John Wayne, we understand that stuff.
So, Representative Stark, give us your take on the health care debate. I know a potential compromise emerged yesterday on this public option or not. What do you make of this? Senator Kent Conrad said this would create health care cooperatives owned by groups of residents and small businesses similar to how electric or other cooperatives operate. They'd be nonprofit and without the government involvement that troubles Republicans and business groups about the public plan option.
The public plan option will be a government plan. There's no sense trying to create some new insurance company. You're going to have a public plan.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bunch of them. We have the VA. We have the Defense Department. We have Medicare. We have Medi-Cal. We have CalPERS. There's nothing new about the government helping to manage the delivery of medical care. And this gives an option to the individuals to select a plan that keeps the hope. I shouldn't say it'll keep the insurance companies honest. I think that's beyond the scope of anybody, but
right.
It will certainly keep them competitive.
Well, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of collusion with the healthcare companies. I don't know why the Republicans are so concerned about, you know, having them compete honestly.
Look, they can't. They make their money by denying care, and either at the front end by selecting only healthy people, or at the back end by denying coverage. Is what this big company down in Southern California, run by this Gellert guy, where he paid millions of dollars for denying people care after they were in the program.
Mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
mean, come on, that's and that is not done by our government plan. So we set a standard, and it's an option that people can pick. If they look, the first thing is that you got 160 million people, give or take, depending on how many lost their jobs recently, who currently have a plan they like.
Right.
Let them stay there.
Right, right.
And then we move. We're talking about 40, 50 million people who don't have, largely because they're poor. Most of them young, many of them employed part-time and temporarily, 12 million of which are children. Those are the people that we've got to, it seems to me, worry about first.
Right. Now, the president, has said yesterday that he wants this deadline. I mean, he wants health care passed, and he wants it passed soon. Do you think that's going to happen?
I do. 2 days ago, I sat next to him in the White House, me on one side and Charlie Rangel on the other, and he told us this. He's got education, energy, breathe that conservation, And health care. And health care, he said, is the primary one that he wants. And he wants us to finish it in the House by the end of July. And we're going to do the best we can. I think we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not be the bill that you and I like, but as long as I can tell your listeners that within 5 years, let's say we got 97% of the people in the country with access to affordable, quality medical care, I can compromise from there any way you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the president wants us to be. And if we've ever had a time with a president, a Congress, that could get done, the time is now.
Mm-hmm. Representative Stark, it seems to me that, you know, the stimulus is obviously beginning to work. You know, our job numbers are at least going in the right direction. We're
mm-hmm.
losing fewer jobs. And yet, you know, all we're still getting is spitballs on the right, that the stimulus has failed, that,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, they got to say something. And they're not sure. They're as unsure. And how many of the Republicans in the end want to come up and look and say, I voted against universal medical care?
Right.
How many of them want to say, I voted against education for kids? I mean, they don't want to do that. So they're looking for some reason to bail out. They want to talk about rationing. Come on. You know, they keep saying, well, look at Canada, they ration. Look at London, they ration. You don't think we ration in this country? We ration here according to your wallet, according to how much money you have. The less money you have, the longer you wait. In Canada, they ration according to what the physician determines is the proper medical standard. And so there's rationing
right
everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, it seems to me that, you know, again, the president, I think, in 4 months is doing the best he can with this enormous deficit that he was left. You know, the New York Times, of course, talking about with all this talk of socialism, only a tiny sliver of the deficits are you know, because of Barack Obama. You know, he's announced PAYGO. He's now yesterday announced TARP pay limits, right, that
right.
they're going to have pay limits for companies that receive TARP assistance.
And, Stephanie, at some point, we're going to have to look us politicians, the public, in the eye and say that awful word tax. You know, you just can't avoid it. We just cannot keep spending money and not say to somebody that it's going to come back.
Well, I you know, what always cracks me up is that these right-wingers that, you know, Ronald Reagan is their saint, this is what he did to get us out of the recession. He remember, he deficit spent.
Right.
And, you know, it is amazing.
But he did have, and I wrote it for him, he had tax reform. But the way he got tax reform is he closed all the loopholes,
mm-hmm.
which have reopened in the past 20 years since we did that tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said to us on the Ways and Means Committee, you get the rates down to 27% and I'll sign anything and it has to be budget neutral, so you close a loophole to lower the rates. Well, we only got it down to around 31%, but he signed on. And he understood that the loopholes would create problems. What he wanted is lower rates.
Right.
So he had the right idea.
Right. And, I mean, you know, the fact that the banks are already going to start paying us back some of the TARP money, you know, tells me that, again, we're not there, but we're heading in the right direction, aren't we?
Big deal. Too big to fail. You know, we're bailing out the banks and the auto companies, and what I want to do is put people to work.
Mm-hmm.
That'll bail out the banks and the auto companies faster than anything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do we got? 10% unemployment in California. Let's cut that in half and put people to work somehow. I don't care. Doing something.
Yep.
And even if it isn't the most efficient thing in the world, let them go out every day and they'll become somewhat productive. That's where our money should be going.
Yep. Representative Pete Stark, thanks so much for taking time for us, as always.
Nice talking with you.
All right. You too,
well.
Sir. All right. There we go.
Yay!
I resisted the urge there to make a joke about congresspeople when he said, let's send them out to do something inefficient, but that is considered work.
Stop.
Not him. I mean the other congress critters. Okay, 42 minutes.
Name names, Stephanie. I dare you.
The boner. 42 okay. minutes. 42 minutes after the hour. Yes. They are indeed having a TARP pay limits. They're going to set limits on what executives of companies that received our money can be paid. We'll tell you the details of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Neil in Chicago on the most important story of the morning, and that is Sporks.
Yes.
Hello, Neil.
Hello.
Hello.
Just want to let the mooks know that they can go to REI.com and they can get titanium Sporks.
Really?
Including one that folds up.
Oh, titanium spork.
I am going to REI after this show. I want a permanent spork.
We are living the dream.
That's right.
Let's go to Chris.
A mountain bike and a spork.
That's right.
Chris in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Titanium, nice.
Nice.
I got a titanium dive watch. Hey, I think that when we celebrate or that we find encouragement in Bill O'Reilly issuing a retraction, I think we're being naive. Because in my opinion, these Hannity Eastas and these Beckafiles have shown themselves time and time again to be more concerned, with the rhetoric than with facts. And I think they put the story out, Faux News will put a story out,
mm-hmm.
make a big noise about it, and then there'll be, someone will fact check it or someone will call them on it, then they'll do a traction. I don't think the people on the right really care about that. Because
yeah.
I think they'll cling
They don't
to
care
that.
About they'll facts. Cling, exactly.
They'll cling to the Bill Ayers and they'll cling to the other thing. And another thing I like, this guy, this wacko that shot up this museum the other day, yesterday,
the Holocaust Museum,
I heard on the news he'd been in prison in the 80s.
Yeah, he was.
He was trying to kidnap the members of the Federal Reserve with a bag with of acne exploding birdseed and a knife and a revolver.
Right.
And
I wonder where's O'Reilly and Hannity's indignation if this guy was running around with a weapon? Where'd this guy get a weapon? If you have a federal conviction, you shouldn't have a weapon.
Yeah, and was mentally ill on top of it. Speaking of which, the breaking news, Jim, you'll love this. We'll get into this more next hour. How Glenn Beck is spinning the Holocaust Museum shooting.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Mm-hmm. Let me just give you a hint. He and two of his guests argued that Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party were left-wing.
What?
And the political correctness led the white supremacists to shoot a security guard.
The Nazis were liberals. Right.
And it gets better. Ultimately, President Obama is the one responsible for the violence.
Oh, does he tell us
why?
Okay. This ought to be good.
Because... let's see. Hang on. Now I lost my place.
Great.
I got so excited I just... because of his bailouts and socialistic policies are engendering widespread anger.
So that makes it okay to go shoot people?
Right, because people are angry at the president.
Wow.
He's the small lunatic
because he had his nerve being black and getting elected president. That's why. And so he's got to expect
black.
that white supremacists aren't going to be very happy about that.
God,
so.
What an idiot.
Mm. Yes, he is.
Glenn, look, Hitler was an extreme right-winger. He infiltrated a left-wing party called the German Workers' Party, who he found out was actually more right than left. From that came the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which became the National Socialists. The brown shirts still had some proletarian leanings, but they were not a left-wing party by any stretch of the imagination.
Don't think you can one-up Jim Moore about German history.
Yeah.
If you actually read books, you might know some of this.
Jim actually lived in Germany and reads books.
Yeah.
All right, Drew in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Mama.
Hey.
I actually heard a great idea. The right-wing, they love their NASCAR, and... the Congress is so well sponsored by corporations. Why don't we combine the two? Make them wear NASCAR uniforms with their corporate sponsors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At least we know who's paying for what. It'll stuff right across their foreheads. Kevin in D.C. on the white supremacist at the Holocaust Museum yesterday.
Here.
I said, you know what I meant.
Hey, Steph.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, occasionally on this show, I can't laugh and joke, and this is for obvious reasons of why I can't. I hope anyone who ever asks black people to get over certain things or wonder why Jews say, never again, is because the things that have happened in our past, this is not science fiction. This is not a video game. People actually did what the Nazis did. I know that's hard to believe. It sounds like a Stephen King novel, but people are crazy to do that. And black people are actually chattel slavery. And you have people like this guy, and he's not the last. He's not the first one people ask that's doing stuff like this. So, I see that, and I hear the Sean Ku Klux Klan insanities and Glenn Drex and Laura Inbreds and Sheila O'Reilly saying their crap.
This is no name calling day here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, see, I don't call, I've said it time and time again, I don't call Michael Smirconish or Jack Cafferty or Kathleen Park or anyone, any Republican that's logical names, but those people are not sane. These people are not. They don't want logical dialogue. They want to rant. They want to incite people. So that's why I don't give them the respect.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, this is serious. A poor man is dead because some piece of crap who could have had a better, worthwhile life. I mean, he's an old man, and he's still so hateful that he came in and shut up a place like that.
Yep, absolutely. It's a wow. The world we live in these days.
And so, Michelle Bachmann is just stupid. She's as dumb as a sack of hammers.
Okay, apparently it's not known in name-calling day here on the Stephanie Miller Show. The Obama
She is dumb.
She's not the sharpest pencil. Okay, the Obama administration...
Why couch it like that? She is stupid.
Oh, right, she fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. Are you happy?
Yes, I am.
Look what you made me do. The Obama administration announced a broad plan meant to curb executive compensation by giving more power to shareholders and independent committees that assign corporate pay. That's almost like gay mortgage.
Yeah.
I'm inventing whole new concepts on the show with my mispronunciation.
Corporate prey and gay mortgage.
Same-sex mortgage.
Same-sex mortgage.
And subprime marriage.
Right.
They can't force corporate.
I was in a subprime
corporate
marriage.
Heads
I know
to
pray. All about that.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner announced the plans which would require Congress to pass legislation. He emphasized that the proposal stopped short of endorsing caps on pay for top corporate officers.
We do not believe it's appropriate for the government to set caps on compensation. We are not going to prescribe detailed prescriptive rules for compensation.
All right. And Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary on the TARP pay limits as well.
He will be able to ensure for those companies receiving exceptional assistance, for those top 100 paid employees, a compensation structure that he believes and the government believes is sound and appropriate.
They created a new pay czar position.
There's a new czar?
I'm sick of these czars.
I'm still bucking for the wine czar job.
Wine czarina.
Exactly.
They have, like, a lot of power with no check on that power, except for within the executive branch.
We need a czar to oversee all the czars.
Exactly. We need a czar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are private sector employees that, in many ways, have their job based on the extraordinary assistance that has been provided by taxpayers to ensure that they can continue to have their job.
We need a czar from Zanzibar.
Hmm? What? Huh?
We need a czar to rock the Casbah. All right. I don't know what to say. As I mentioned, the New York Times yesterday reporting that Obama responsible for a tiny sliver of the deficits that we have. George Bush, the Bush policies responsible for. And so the president, as President Reagan did, trying to deficit spend to get us out of this recession. And yet he's trying to put in place, PAYGO. And other things that are going to try and control these deficits. And Sean Hannity still doesn't like it.
Starting tomorrow. Now, the president yesterday talked about PAYGO after he spent all the money. He talked about PAYGO, and then he's going to talk about nationalizing health care, Obamacare. That big debate begins tomorrow. That is not included in the PAYGO, nor is the stimulus, nor is the omnibus, nor is the $3.6 trillion budget. So it's really deceptive. He's trying to create the impression he's conservative on fiscal matters when, in fact, he's not.
Oh,
why didn't he use the omnibuses?
Why didn't Ray Nagin use the omnibuses? Why?
They're just
sitting
there, all the omnibuses. Why didn't he use them?
Oh, by the way, speaking of Ray Nagin, he was released from quarantine. He was quarantined in China, because they thought he had swine flu. He was quarantined for...
What a weird story.
About a week. They finally released him.
And by the way, Pete Townsend and the WHO have declared that we are at stage 6 of the pandemic. We're there.
Oh.
The World Health Organization.
And it's, in Australia especially, because it's winter in the southern hemisphere. Mm-hmm. Wait till, till flu season hits here.
Wow. If Roger Daltrey confirms that, then we are screwed.
Uh-huh.
All right, 57.
I saw a woman with a mask at the grocery store yesterday, and I thought, oh, you're crazy. Oh, no.
Oh, a Michael Jackson fan. Yeah. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget tomorrow, the return of Frangela.
Hooray!
To tell us about their adventure in Costa Rica and help I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And also, comedian Hal Sparks live in all of hour number two tomorrow.
That's correct.
Which will be way fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Always is.
Lots of big breaking news. If only there was someone that was a big breaking news maker. Why? Who is it, Jim?
From the great state of Maryland, it's Representative Chris Van Holla.
One of our very personal favorites.
That's right.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's good to be with you.
You too, sir. Well, I got to get your take on the, you know, the big story of the day, obviously, this tragic shooting at the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah, it's obviously a very sad day across the country and in Washington, D.C. here at the Holocaust Museum. And it just reminds us all that we have to make sure that we always speak out whenever we hear these hate groups that are, you know, whenever they raise their ugly heads, we need to make sure that we make it absolutely clear that this kind of conduct is absolutely unacceptable in our society, and we need to just always go the extra mile to, you know, not look the other way when there are people who are engaged in this kind of hateful speech. And,
right.
And what we saw in this case was it translated into a very hateful, violent act.
Well, and, you know, ironically, of course, the president, in these, both in his speech in Cairo and at Buchenwald, talked about Holocaust deniers, which, you know, this white supremacist who killed the security guard yesterday, you know, was. And ironically, you know, we were just talking about this before the break. You've got to just shake your head at this rhetoric coming out of the right. Apparently, Glenn Beck tried to spin this, that he said, you know, Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party were actually right wing, or excuse me, left wing. And that, and the president is actually responsible for the violence because of his bailouts and socialist policies are engendering a lot of anger.
You know, some of these guys are so far off on the fringe of these days that you just can't figure out what's coming out of their mouths. And, you know, it's a problem, you know, on the very right of the Republican Party when you've got people who are trying to score political points on this kind of hateful act. And so that's sort of just beyond the pale. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about his comments, but if it's true that he's trying to make political points on this kind of thing, it is pretty disgusting.
Well, and Congressman Van Hollen, interestingly, speaking of Holocaust deniers, of course, you know, many people knew the president was referring to Ahmadinejad in his speech in Cairo. You know, he may get tossed out tomorrow. You know, as it turns out, the Muslim world, I think, is taking very well to President Obama's message of inclusiveness. And that, I think part of it is one of the best points he made, I thought, was that, you know, Al-Qaeda is killing more Muslims than any other race.
Well, that's right. And by reaching out his hand to the Muslim world, as the president said he would do during his campaign and in his first speech, his inaugural address, and then followed through with the speech in Cairo, it tells the moderates throughout the Muslim world, which represents the great majority of people in those parts of the world, that the United States, you know, wants to work with them on areas of common interest, and it helps isolate the extremists in those countries. That it helps isolate the Osama bin Ladens and the Al-Qaeda type movements, and makes it much more difficult for Al-Qaeda to recruit converts because they were able to recruit converts when they were able to, you know, suggest to their people that the United States was trying to somehow expand territorially in the Middle East and that it was trying to put down the Muslim world. But by reaching out a hand, he's been able to, the president has been able to reach out to the hearts and minds of people throughout the Muslim world and help isolate those extremists. And I think we saw the results in the elections in Lebanon just the other day.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I've yet to hear anybody on the right, by the way, give the president any credit for this. You know, they act like all these things are coincidences. But I think you're right. It's not for nothing that Al-Qaeda is putting out, you know, one tape after another, getting nervous, because I think we are starting to win the battle for hearts and minds when the president is there pointing out, you know, that they are killing fellow Muslims, and that he made it very clear, as you say, we seek no permanent bases in Iraq, we seek no permanent bases in Afghanistan, and he's taken away all their arguments, isn't he?
Well, he has. And look, everybody expected Hezbollah to win in the elections in Lebanon. That was the predictions that were coming from the right, the left, the middle, and all the experts in the region. And you know that if Hezbollah had won, the right wing in this country would have said, you know, the president's policies are failed. You see that our reaching out doesn't accomplish any results, and that yet they refused at the same time to suggest that when the result was very different than people predicted,
right,
that may well be due in part right, to the president's speech in Cairo and reaching out. Obviously, there are always lots of factors.
Well, but you know, and exactly, you know,
over the head, they would have been beating him over the head and arguing he had a failed policy if Hezbollah had won, and so you'd think they'd give him, you know, a little bit of credit.
I know. Well, and Congressman, I think, you know, interesting that it was George Bush's quote-unquote diplomacy that got Hezbollah in the first place. You know, Israel was the one telling us we can't have the elections now. Hezbollah is going to win, and it's the Bush administration that pushed them into it, you know, and got obviously a result that we did not want.
Well, there's no doubt, and this is according to all public accounts of the analysts coming out of our intelligence community, was that our actions in Iraq did help fuel extremist movements. It did help Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda get more recruits. It strengthened the hands of the extremists in the area. And that's according to our own intelligence community and the reports that they put out many years ago. And so there's no doubt that the extremists are having a much tougher time of it now that President Obama is in the White House, because, as I say, the sort of siren, the call of the extremists has been undercut by the reaching out by President Obama.
Yep. Speaking of extremists, do you think our friends on the right owe Janet Napolitano an apology? They were screaming about this memo that leaked that said, you know, we may have to be careful of right-wing extremists domestically, which has now been proven true in 2 weeks in a row, hasn't it?
Well, clearly that the warning that she was given was that we need to have a heightened awareness of the possibility of this kind of violent extremism here at home. And we have seen, as you say, in the last few weeks, at least two terrible examples of that kind of violence. And so, look, I think that we obviously need to move on, but clearly it was another example of people trying to twist the words, in this case, of the Secretary of Homeland Security for political purposes. I think the American people are tired of that kind of stuff, and I don't think they're getting much traction. They're just sort of, you know, the guys on the way right in the fringe are just proving themselves to be totally out of touch.
Right. Chris Van Hollen, you are, of course, in charge of getting more Democrats elected. I'm curious your reaction to Newt Gingrich's comments.
I think we're going to do very well in 2010. I think at the rate the administration is going, we have a very good chance for this to be a one-term presidency.
What polling do you think he's basing any of that on, sir?
This is just the Newt Gingrich for president. I mean, if he thinks people are going to pick him coming up, I think he's going to have a rude awakening.
Yeah.
Eric Cantor, just yesterday, in fact, predicted that the Republicans were going to take back control of the House of Representatives in 2010. I was actually pleased to hear him make that prediction. It reminded me of Karl Rove's prediction a few years ago that the Republicans are going to be a permanent majority party in the United States.
Did you sit on your couch and just say, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to set the bar there, that's fine. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, people do need to understand, and you do, that Historically, the first midterm can be very challenging for a new president's political party. Mm-hmm. In fact, since Abraham Lincoln was president, there have only been two elections, when a new president's party has not lost seats in the House of Representatives, and often significant numbers of seats. So we have to beat history in that sense. But right now, with the way things are going and the way President Obama is moving the country forward and the Republicans are dragging their feet and mm-hmm. protecting the status quo.
Congressman, you've got to like the new Gallup poll the best. It shows that most Americans think the leader of the Republican Party is the number one answer, nobody. Number two is, I believe, Dick Cheney, Rush Limbaugh, and Newt Gingrich.
Well, that's right. I mean, if you take that trio and say to the American people, is this what you want? You want to turn back the clock to these guys and you want to hand over power? People would just be running for the woods. I mean, so I that's exactly right. I mean, these guys have got nothing to offer but negativism. They're constantly carping. They would have voted against, and the Republican leadership in the House voted against something as common sense as providing greater consumer protections against credit card company abuses. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, this is kind of common sense, mainstream America stuff, trying to provide a little health care coverage for kids, trying to get the economy moving again, and they're just no. They're protecting the status quo, and the American people, you know, they want to get us out of this economic ditch that was dug for us, and we're working to do that. There's some bumps along the road. The American people understand that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank goodness they did get one thing done, and that is getting the guns into the national parks. That's, I think, proven to be... Oh, boy. Congressman, keep doing the Lord's work, and thanks for taking time for us, as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Sure. Thank you, sir. Representative Chris Van Hollen of the great state of Maryland.
I can't decide who's dumber, Glenn Beck or Michelle Bachmann. I think it's kind of a toss-up.
Huh. We'll debate that when we get back.
Oh, that's a good debate.
First, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Miss California, USA, Carrie Prejean got the two dreaded words from Donald Trump Wednesday.
You're fired.
Trump and other pageant leaders said Prejean was being sacked, not because of the remarks on gay marriage, but because she has not been holding up her end of the agreement she signed when she entered the pageant. This was a decision based solely on contract violations, including Miss Prejean's unwillingness to make appearances on behalf of the Miss California USA organization. According to the pageant's director, we have the Donald.
This whole mess with Miss California has turned out to be absolutely craptacular. When I said she could stay on as Miss California, my expectations were huge.
Huge!
I expected to buckle down and get back to work. I'd expected she'd take a hint and keep a yap shut. But mostly I expected some gratitude. Some hugely personal gratitude, if you get what I'm saying.
Huge!
Ever since Ivanka left home, I've missed the rustle of big jugs as they sway in front of a tall babe. The breeze as they push the air out of the way makes my skull merkins jump up and down. So was I wrong to think that I could expect some payback from me being such a huge benefactor?
Huge!
They could have had my way with their artificially huge bazooms.
Huge!
It seems that Missy Prejean has better things to do than strip down for my benefit. Can you imagine how huge my disappointment was?
Huge!
So that's what you get, lady. You keep your top on, and I strip your crown off and give you a huge, you're fired.
Huge.
Yeah, too bad. So sad. You're fired. Ha ha ha.
It's official. Controversial Miss California Carrie Prejean has heard the words, you're fired.
This is the statement from the Miss California USA organization, and with the blessing of its owner, Mr. Donald J. Trump, announced today the termination of Carrie Prejean as Miss California USA, citing continued breach of contract issues.
The unemployment rate rising to 7.6%.
Miss California, you're fired.
None of this would be happening right now if I just said, they should get married. You're right, Paris Hilton.
Immediately after the pageant, Judge Number 8 began a cultural firestorm.
Look who's talking, beaver face.
The fact is, at some point, there's a winner and there's a loser. And tonight, you're a loser.
Do you want to be Miss California anymore?
I mean, of course I want to be Miss California. I earned it. I deserved it.
Computer says no.
I'm
going to be presenting at the Special Olympics as
everywhere, like such as and
Miss California. You're fired.
You're fired. You're fired.
Pageant officials say first runner-up Tammy Farrell will take over those responsibilities.
God, that was brilliant. Brilliant editing on that.
Yes.
Thank you, Listener Ken.
Mister,
you're fired.
Listener Ken in Cleveland.
Take over.
That's all for Tinsel Talk Part 1. Tinsel Talk Part 2 when we return. Kelly Clarkson denying rumors. Which ones? We'll tell you when we return on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. I am already having a fantastic time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Tastes like chicken. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's how you cook them.
25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. And finally, in Tinsel Talk, Kelly Clarkson once again denying rumors that she is a lesbian.
Lawrence Welk fan?
She is saying the rumors have ruined her love life. She said the rumors are not helping me on the dating front. I prefer the boys. I'm extremely flattered when I do get hit on by girls. I think it's hot, but I'm not into it. I like boys. She told Australia's Kyle and Jackie O Show. It's my favorite.
Do they have slide whistle?
We have the footage.
G'day, and welcome to the Kyle and Jackie O Show. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jackie O.
And our guest today is former American Idol, current pop star, and famous lesbian Kelly Clarkson.
I'm not a lesbian. Stop spreading those rumors. What was it like coming out to your parents? Were they terribly disappointed? I'm not a lesbian. What is wrong with you people? You're not helping me on the dating front.
If Melissa Etheridge and her partner Tammy were to split up, which one would you rather pass on?
You know what? You two are jerks. I'm going to go fire my publicist.
There she goes. Noted lesbo, sappo, soft butch, stone femme, sister of Dorothy, vegetarian.
Shut up, y'all!
Kelly Clarkson.
For her sake, I certainly hope that Texas will be the next American state to allow gay marriage.
Amen to that.
I am not a lesbian!
We'll be right back after this message from ShamWow.
Justin, Kyle and Jackie O reporting that Adam Lambert is really straight.
Oh,
that's
okay.
All for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week to tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, all the wrong.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there's a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Take you right there.
Ooh, some squeezy news for you, Jim. Heather Graham and Sting have something in common. While promoting her role in The Hangover, Graham told a British paper how she enjoys tantric sex.
Do we have footage?
Where's my squeezy music? Thank you. What most people know about tantric sex is that Sting does it and it lasts 8 hours. Oh, dear. But he's not having sex continually. You can take a bath, massage your partner, listen to music. The idea that you let the whole thing build very slowly until you finally merge with your partner. Works for me.
Damn.
Heather Graham says.
Okay. Well. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I frequently...
She's not been shy about taking her clothes off in movies.
No, she's not. Not at all.
Much she is not.
To my intense disappointment, as you can imagine.
You know, I frequently get things wrong, and I thought I read this headline, Michelle Obama takes Sasha to see Larry King. For her 8th birthday, it was Lion King.
Lion King.
Lion King.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
I once offered to take my friend's
Sasha,
8-year-old
hello.
To Larry King, but 8-year-old's not as much for the Larry King. 28 minutes after the hour, back with all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
MF-er, I want more
Stephanie Miller.
All right, Billy, settle down. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus on the white supremacist shooting the security guard at the Holocaust Museum yesterday. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, two things. Number one, you know, this is an awful thing, but we got a hero. His name is Stephen Tyrone Johns, the guard.
Yeah.
I mean,
who died.
He laid his life down and saved a bunch of other people, and I hope there's a statue to that man.
Yeah. This is, buddy, getting a little tough for the right wing to spin, isn't it?
Yeah, and the second thing, too, here in Ohio, we have this absolutely despicable person called Bill Cunningham. And what he does is he gives rise and allows these people to talk about how Obama's not an American 24/7 on his show. And also your good friend Sean Hannity, I know I've talked about this before too, but my friend Jennifer Bruner had real death threats thanks to the lies that were spread about Acorn and her fixing the election.
Yep.
And these people have to be held responsible for this stuff.
Yep, yep. Listen, as the recipient of a death threat after going on Fox News, I know of what I speak. Yeah, this is getting a little. I mentioned this earlier, but you got to hear this again. Glenn Beck and two of his guests argued that Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party were actually left-wing, and political correctness led the white supremacist James von Brunn yesterday to shoot a security guard at the Holocaust Museum. And that ultimately, wait for it, President Obama is responsible.
Right.
Because of his bailouts and socialistic policies are engendering widespread anger.
The bailout, which was started by George Bush
last
fall.
I was just going to say, yeah. Beck denounced those who claim he is churning the pot because he says the pot's already boiling.
The right-wingers are always talking about Hitler being a socialist. That was the bad part. You know, he was for federally funded housing and the Autobahn.
Mm-hmm. So the guy I was going to say the guy that, you know, did the shootings in Pittsburgh. It was like parroting, you know, Glenn Beck talking points exactly that Obama's coming to get your guns.
Yep.
You know, how
so
many of these
start killing people now?
How many of these are we going to have? Jim David Adkinson, he's the one that shot up the church in Tennessee and killed people. He explained he was there to kill liberals. They found Hannity's book, Savage's book, O'Reilly's book.
Yep. He wanted to kill every liberal on Bernard Goldberg's list of the 100 people screwing up America.
Right, who was on O'Reilly every other day. He said, I wanted to kill every Democrat in the Senate and the House and the 100 people in Bernard Goldberg's book.
Thereby proving why people should take his guns away. Not everyone. Him personally.
Yes, ironically.
Whack jobs like
that's
that.
That's probably why President Obama should come for his guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Shep Smith, as we were saying the big news, stepping off the reservation yesterday, mentioning the Homeland Security memo that Jenna Napolitano was forced to apologize for.
Right.
By the right wing. Because she said, we need to look at a threat of domestic terrorism from right wing groups here in America.
For the second time in as many weeks, a crime scene reminds me of a memo which you broke on the Fox report from the government warning, look out for crazy extremists out there about to go do weirdness, and here we are.
Crazy right-wing extremists.
He did say right-wing at some point during the day yesterday.
Yeah, and that's when the story fell down the memory hole at Fox News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and we were talking with Eric Bollert of Media Matters earlier, and he said that Fox News pretty much didn't pay attention to the to the shootings yesterday in prime time.
Hmm.
Once they found out it was a far-right white supremacist.
Exactly what they accused CNN of doing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which O'Reilly had to retract because CNN covered the recruitment center shootings all day long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you notice on your soundbite list, Stephanie, there is nothing from O'Reilly or Hannity.
Oh, I thought that was
regarding
I thought that was a mistake on your part.
Because they didn't say anything.
Wow. Hmm.
Yeah, they must be getting a little nervous over there at the Fox News.
I hope so.
Scott Roeder, the anti-abortion activist who killed Dr. Tiller, told CNN that the closing of Tiller's clinic is a victory for all the unborn children. He wouldn't admit that he killed Dr. Tiller, even though several people saw it. But he said if he is convicted and Tiller is slain, the entire motive was the defense of the unborn. Operation Rescue said in a statement that the group is thankful that Tiller's clinic will not reopen and thankful that Wichita is now abortion-free.
Which, of course, really is
not if pro-choice people have anything to do with it.
Well, it won't be, and it just then more women will die as well.
Well, so some pro-choice people are trying to buy Tiller's clinic and reopen it. So, hopefully they'll be
for a security detail, too.
On Operation...
maybe a moat.
Operation Rescue and alligators.
Yeah.
Operation Rescue's website, the group refers to Tiller as a monster who had been able to get away with murder. Hmm. Roeder told CNN he's feeling good. Good, because I was concerned
about that.
And getting encouraging letters from people around the country, many of whom he does not know. But he complained about conditions in the jail, saying that that he doesn't like being in solitary confinement and that the jail is freezing.
But first of all, you shouldn't be getting letters at all.
Mm.
You should be one of those get-ups like Hannibal Lecter. with a cage over your mouth.
Thank you. Okay, Dan in Illinois and our friends on the Fox News. Hello, Dan.
Hi, guys. Hi. Real fast, I thought the reason, that, and not disputing that there has been a rise in right-wing extremism, and be kind of hard to say that you haven't seen that, but I thought that Fox wanted Napolitano to apologize because she specifically mentioned returning war veterans.
By the way, this guy was a veteran of, he's old, but World War II, but yeah, I mean...
Okay. Well, it actually has been a problem. I've read reports of, it's rare, I think, but there are people who come back and they with PTSD, and they still have their guns. And there was, I can't remember the guy's name, who shot a bunch of cops. And it was like his own little Rambo movie.
All right. I was telling you, I misread the headline. Michelle Obama took her daughter to see Lion King, not Larry King.
Right. There's a difference.
I actually offered to take my friend. We were all going out to dinner, my friend and her 8-year-old nephew, but 8-year-olds are not so much.
Computer says no.
Not so much with the Larry.
Not big Debbie Reynolds fans. They don't, for some reason.
Debbie Reynolds for the hour.
Hello, little boy. I want to talk to Addis Ababa. Hello.
Mamie Van Doren for the hour. She's still alive. Who cares? We got her.
Your 8-year-olds are big Mamie Van Doren fans. I did find that out. the Obamas, of course, were in London. They went. They visited the House of Parliament, Big Ben, the Harry Potter film set, in a traditional British pub. While the country's in recession.
Wait a minute. The kids went to the pub?
Actually, you can do that in England, I think.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can just get the fish and chips and not the... Yeah,
right. Actually, Lion King is the last Broadway-type show I've ever seen. It's really, really good,
though. It is good.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Also, the Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. We'll get all the dirt on Patty Blagojevich from Frangela, who will be in live tomorrow in hour number 3.
From what I've seen of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Patty Blagojevich actually seems like the most normal person there.
Well, that tells you something.
Wow.
She's the nurturing mother of the group. I mean, she comes off as kind of sweet.
Nurturing mother who spews the F word every 3 seconds. But...
I'm nurturing? What are you talking about?
Nurtured this.
Back up that cubs. Okay.
I have removed I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here from my TiVo, though, because Frangela's
not there. What's the point?
Exactly.
Okay, Rod Blagojevich getting in on the jokes with Chicago's famed The Second City. He will participate in Saturday's performance of Rod Blagojevich Superstar.
Oh, no.
It's a takeoff on Jesus Christ Superstar. I think that's a
lot. Blagojevich Superstar.
Jesus just left Chicago. See, because we don't have Jesus Christ.
We don't.
All right. Can I have some correction music? This is a correcting the corrector
like
letter.
Like the karaoke version.
Yeah. We both made mistakes, apparently, yesterday.
We did? What did we do?
James in Atlanta says, does Steph understand geography?
Computer says no.
No, she doesn't.
She thinks it's geology.
I can't believe you missed the opportunity to correct me on something, what? Both of you. Steph told Delegate Donna Christensen, who represents the U.S. Virgin Islands, that she had been there, mentioning a trip to St. John and Virgin Gordon. Virgin Gorda. The sound of silence from Delegate Christensen was because Virgin Gordon is part of the British Virgin Islands.
Oh, Stephanie.
Means fat virgin.
I don't know much about the Virgin Islands, so that's why I didn't correct you.
Ooh. It would be. She was too polite. I noticed there was a moment of silence. She was thinking, oh, what a dope. It would be like me talking to Senator Boxer and saying, I've been to your state. I went to Tijuana last winter.
Well, sort of right.
Mm. However, Steffi was not alone in blunders yesterday. Ha ha! John Voight's getting something incredibly wrong is one thing, but Chris? No, there was no editorial in Pravda saying that thanks to President Obama, we're well on our way to becoming socialist. And no, they don't have opinion pieces, and they can't do things like that now. It's because Boris Yeltsin shut down Pravda in 1991.
No, Pravda still exists. Pravda's still around.
I don't know.
Yeah. Pravda still exists, but it's not. Right. It's not state-owned.
Right.
I think the
editorial board has been fired from the other day.
But Pravda does still exist. You can go to Pravda's website.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, then you're correcting the corrector.
Yes, I am.
And so it turns out that only I am incorrect in all that, which sucks that I brought it up.
Because I am never wrong.
All right. Tommy, real quick, with the festive news that the court has ruled that Norm Coleman must pay Al Franken's costs. Oh, another reason for Bill Riley's head to explode. That was the determination of the county court because, of course, Coleman lost. He's responsible for covering his opponents. T and then a he. 43 minutes after the hour. You know what? The Republicans, they want some more information on Sonia Sotomayor. We'll tell you what they need as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. Ha. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Nicole writes, I am not missing Frangela tomorrow. Oh, joy, oh, joy. I love the Stephanie Miller Show. Those nutty Christian converts, the fat Baldwins, and that Blagojevich woman.
Yeah.
How did Frangela stand all the craziness? Did they want to barf? We will ask them tomorrow when they're here at this very same time. They will be here in hour number three tomorrow.
Frangela just tweeted that apparently Janice Dickinson peed in the camp right next to Angela's old bed.
Oh, for the love of God.
Things are turning into Lord of the Flies over there.
There is nothing worse than former supermodel pee. Okay. We will talk to them as we always do about all things politics and pop culture. Oh, like the fact I forgot to say that Miss California,
mm-hmm.
Glad she got fired because she is going to write a book now. Which I can't wait to get her take on the social issues of the day.
Great.
The working title is The Audacity of Dope.
you stole it from me.
I did?
Huh. Yeah, Jim said that.
I said that.
I can't
last
remember
year.
Who I'm stealing from and why and when.
Well, you got 3 hours to fill. You got to steal from somewhere.
Someone else used it, too. Oh. Someone else.
I stole used material from you?
You stole it from who stole it from me.
Okay. Jim, speaking of conspiracy sausages or not, did you hear that two passengers with names linked to Islamic terrorism were on the Air France flight?
I'm thinking that might be a coincidence.
Really?
There's a lot of similar names out there.
Well, and
because someone would have taken credit for it by now. If it had
that's
been
what it seems, and it seemed, and they're saying there were computer malfunctions on the plane, so that would seem to be a weird, so I don't know, we'll give you more on that as we find out.
As events warrant.
Yes. By the way, in terms of the Air France flight, I also wanted to take a moment to say, yay, union. Go, union. That's what unions are for. Air France has said all its flights using those long-haul Airbus jets will be equipped immediately with new speed sensors after last week's disaster. The Air France union urged its pilots to stop flying until they were replaced, because that is really...
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that I mean, we've got the planes here in the U.S. that have their old equipment, that stuff, I mean, you know, it's terrifying. All right, let me move on to the Sotomayor. Boy, they have a new line of attack now. The Republicans, have you heard this? They're accusing her of returning an incomplete questionnaire.
Oh my God! So she's getting an incomplete.
Wow. Yes, apparently. Mitch McChinless and Jeff Sessions said she's omitted information on some of the speeches or lectures she's given. Sessions said Republicans are frustrated that their fairness to Sotomayor has not been returned.
That's funny!
I suppose he means calling her stupid and a racist. That kind of fairness is she's not returning that in kind, apparently. Leahy noted that thousands of pages on background material on John Roberts, was not delivered by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library until just before his confirmation hearings. He said, we're on the same schedule. If it was good enough for him, why shouldn't it be good enough for her? Here are the fun facts about that, by the by.
Okay.
Chief Justice John Roberts got a vote 72 days after he was nominated. If Democrats want to complete the process for Sotomayor, that would be 73 days after Obama nominated her. Which, of course, is different, because why?
They're so desperate. They're flailing around.
One senator is threatening a filibuster.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Orrin Hatch said...
he's such a crybaby.
He said, I don't think anyone wants to filibuster Judge Sotomayor. I certainly don't want to, but sometimes the only way you can make sure things are fair...
Shut up.
...is to act like a great big baby.
I don't want to. But it has to be done. Somebody
has to be done our way or we're not going to play right.
Listen to Mitch McChinless. He said they want the shortest timeline in recent memory for someone with the longest judicial history in recent memory.
She's got too much experience. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, did we say that?
No, don't speak.
She's a complete novice with no experience, but she has too much experience, so we can't... Oh, crap.
Yeah. I think Rachel Maddow actually did the math last night. If they stick with the somebody said, we can only read 6 cases a day, and it would be like, I don't know, 2 years from now. She could get confirmed if you were going to stick to that schedule. Lord. Among the requested items...
I think they should take their ball and go home. Just go ahead, leave.
How ridiculous is this getting? Among the items that requested are articles Sotomayor edited while a student at Yale Law School. So she didn't even write them, but they want to see if they can find any gotcha. See? Stuff she edited when she was the editor of Yale Law
School. Stuff she left out was really important.
Like she changed tense when it was incorrect?
Does she have some sort of prejudice against semicolons or something like that?
Prejudice against the present pluperfect tense?
Yes.
Oh,
the future anterior improbable is a tense. She shouldn't have corrected that.
And listen to this. Oh, we need our scary music for this, because there's probably going to be an ad about this.
Oh, boy.
And also internal documents from organizations she was involved with, like the Puerto Rican Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Oh, meaning it would defend and educate Puerto Ricans?
Yes.
That's scary?
It's evil.
Yes.
Okay.
The letter
practically
also...
Nazi.
The letter also questioned Sotomayor's membership in a Bazillion Grove, an elite private club comprised of high-powered women.
Is it the fact that they're high-powered or the fact that they're women that they're more
trouble with? If I were a right-winger, I would say things that are chicky and... But then you can't use the other word, but you know what I'm saying. Anything that involves her being a girl or Hispanic or brown... yeah, it's a female answer to the secret of 130-year-old Bohemian Grove. Yeah, because none of the white Supreme Court men justices have belonged to any male groups. Okay, all right, whatever.
Whatever.
Pathetic.
They've got nothing. Exactly. Got nothing. They got Sarah Palin, who Ann Coulter says we're afraid of.
You keep coming back to Palin because liberals are manifestly terrified of her.
Yeah, but...
And so, you know, just when it looks like she's trying to move on, you think, gosh, there must be something to her if they keep denouncing her the way they do. They won't let up.
Yes, we are terrified. Sure. You must run her for president. She would be our worst nightmare.
Yes. Don't tell anybody.
Join us. Okay. Remember, by the way, in September when Governor Palin he'd just been chosen, she was asked by ABC's Charlie Gibson about drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife and, you know, how she splits on that with her running mate.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, agree to disagree, but I'm going to keep pushing that. I think eventually we're all going to come together on that one. I'll have John McCain, I'll bring him back to ya, Charlie.
Hmm.
I'll get him on that and we'll bring him back. And we'll bring him to ya. Was there some reason Prince was in there? Was that in my head?
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring him to ya.
Well, Tuesday, the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee shot down Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski's effort to open up ANWR to drilling. The sole Republican to vote against the proposal, John McCain.
That's funny!
Oh, golly, you betcha. I guess he didn't come around on that and come back to that, did he? Oh, well. Hey, did I tell you I went to see, Bill Maher's show, Real Time?
Yes.
With CeCe Goldwater a couple weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
And guess who was on?
Who?
John Bolton. And guess who I walked right by?
Oh,
John Bolton. Yeah,
with
his crazy, crazy white mustache.
Did you throw a stapler at his head?
No. I didn't have the urge to say hello to him. He was right next to me. I was just like,
Why was he in the audience?
He was on the panel.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, I was walking
past
the green room.
I
was hobnobbing in the green room with all the hoi polloi. Anyway, he has written a piece on how Obama is just continuing Bush's second term badly. Because, George Bush was too diplomatic for John Bolton.
Oh, boy.
He writes, conservative foreign and national security policies do not need remaking, rebranding, or remessaging. They need not be escorted by prefixes or adjectives, nor do they need moderating. Conservative foreign policy is unabashedly pro-American, unashamed of American exceptionalism, unwilling to bend its knee to international organizations. The Obama administration's first few months already provide compelling evidence of the enormous costs of embracing the alternative worldview of the European and American left.
Yes, because Lebanon and Iran are on the verge of electing moderates.
Yes.
Thanks in large part to Obama's speech.
Huh?
And I hate that!
In many ways...
Hate moderation! There's no one left to hate! Damn it!
That's because he's a little crazy. Let's go crazy.
Secretariat building in New York has 38 stories. If you lost 10 stories today, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. This kind of mindless creation of the United Nations as something different from what it's in the United States' interest to do isn't going to sell here or anywhere else.
All right, crazy. Okay. He said overseas apology tour, public displays of empathy, and inviting the likes of Iran to 4th of July receptions at our embassies will not alter these underlying realities.
It's already altering.
Wait for the elections tomorrow in Iran, and we'll see. Okay, that's it for us today. Tune in tomorrow for Hal Sparks and Frangela. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.